while Ardsale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So yes, good morning. And wow, I really feel like I'm in the house with family this morning. Today's service, the ministering has been so wonderful. Thank you, Charlene, and the worship team. And it's so funny because in preparation for the sermon today, I was like, oh, I haven't spoken to Charlene. I haven't spoken about this, and I haven't told her this, and I haven't told her this. And it's like the Holy Spirit just said to me, don't worry. It's fine. Don't worry. And I can just see that he has really, really led you. So I give God thanks. So the title of today's theme is Uncontrollably in Control, as you've seen. This sermon is really just some thoughts that I've had on the subject and like some scriptures that have come to me. So like reflections, essentially. But if we could get up the PowerPoint presentation, oh, amazing. If you could just go to the main slide. When I read the title, Uncontrollably in Control, I had to read it twice. I was like, uncontrollably in control, uncontrollably in control. And I think it's because the words are kind of opposed, if that makes sense. So you know, uncontrollably, as you can see, is defined that is in a way that is too strong, almost, and cannot be restrained, right? And then control, as many of us know, is to order, to limit, or to rule somebody's behavior or your response. And so the words are kind of opposed. And thinking about it, we could witness a situation, one situation, where the actions of one person is quite controlled and the other person is uncontrolled or uncontrollable. And what came to me in thinking about situations is breakfast time. It's meant to be the best meal of the day, apparently, they say. But in our house, sometimes there is, you know, a bit of chaos. And I remember this time when we're at the table, so myself, Ethan and Manuel were at the table, we're having breakfast, and Pastor Manuela talked about this, the school run. So it's during the week. I'm trying to like get going and get ready and get them out the door. And so we're having breakfast and I innocently just pick up Ethan's bowl of porridge. It's got a little bit left. And I'm like, okay, Ethan, here you go. But Ethan responds by being frustrated, unhappy. He pushes the bowl out of my hands. And the last bit of porridge in the bowl, think about this in slow motion, goes flying, kind of in slow motion, and lands on Emmanuel's school uniform, on his neatly, yes, or on his jumper and his neatly pressed trousers. So Ethan's shaking around, screaming uncontrollable. Emmanuel, so he's five. Ethan is two, by the way. Emmanuel's five. He's got porridge on his school uniform. Emmanuel's response was to kind of like look up and simply say, Mummy, may I have a baby wipe, please? So I would say that was quite a controlled response. And obviously while Ethan is still writhing around in his booster seat, I'm like, I'm sure this child is going to break this seat any moment. You know, Emmanuel was there simply just wiping off this piece of porridge in a controlled response to it. I would say. He could have joined his brother kicking off, screaming, but he was simply like, Mommy, I'm just going to wipe this off, it's fine. So I thought about that when I was thinking about these terms. But what does it mean when we say God is uncontrollably in control? It's interesting. Today we've talked about the fact that circumstances can be uncontrollable. But what came to me is that God is uncontrollably in control. What does this mean for us in our walk with him? And what does trusting God, who is uncontrollably in control, look like when we follow him? not only externally in the things that we do, but also internally within us, in our thoughts, and in the actions that we take. Let's look again at our key scripture for today, which Charlene just read to us. And as Charlene mentioned, it was one of the many parables that Jesus told his followers about the kingdom of God. I'll just revisit it again. Verses 26 to 29 say, "He also said, 'This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and it grows. Though he does not know how, all by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come.'" Secondly, we hear about the parable of the mustard seed in verses 30 to 32. "What shall we say about the kingdom of God? Sorry, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants." Have any of you ever done any planting, any kind of like pottery, gardening? I'm sure some of us here are avid gardeners. But when you plant something, when we think about it, we actually don't know whether it will grow or not. We understand that we need to water it. Some plants come with instructions: keep me in partial sun, shade. But it takes patience, actually. It takes persistence and it takes faith. And when reading about this parable, I noted that many theologians conclude that there is majesty and mystery in this. And there's majesty and mystery in the kingdom of God. And when they're talking about it, they're basically saying, we don't know how the kingdom of God will grow, but he does it. And what Jesus is saying in this is that he is the one who gives growth in the kingdom of God. He is the one who is in control of the harvest of souls. He is the one who leads us, the one who has a plan for your growth. My growth and our growth as the body of Christ. Another verse that came to me in preparation for this, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 11, and I think we have it here as well. "What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen. And so in this verse, you know, what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth is that really no one can take credit apart from God for growth. He says that, you know, he and Apollos are mere servants of the Lord, and they're being used by him to deliver the good news. So it's not about following them, it's about following Christ. And it's an important reminder for us. I really believe it's an important reminder for us that we must seek God first and follow him, not wholly rely on the opinions of others for our growth, but always to seek God and to ask him for his wisdom. Let's look again at the mustard seed. It's the smallest of seeds, but when it grows, it's the largest of trees. And it's not the first time we read about it in the Bible. What about the mustard seed of faith? In Matthew 17, Jesus says, you just need faith the size of a mustard seed. To say to that mountain, move and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Again, we read about the power of God and the power of his love available for us. Last week, we saw those wonderful baptisms and those testimonies that were so powerful. And I feel like this verse is key in that. Even if you have a little bit of faith, God will work with that. And his plan is that you will do great things for him. Even if you have a small amount of faith at the start of your journey. There was something, though, that Pastor Deji said, I think it was on Thursday's daily prayer, and it's really, really, really stuck with me. Whilst he was praying, he said, what is too difficult for God? Turn to the person next to you and say, what is too difficult for God? Nothing. Right, someone said it. Nothing. Nothing. And we must remember that and hold on to that. John 14:12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. His purpose is that through us, others will come to see and know the risen God. He wants to bring others to his throne of grace, to set people free from a life of darkness into his marvelous light. And he wants to use us, he wants to use you, he wants to use me right where we are, in our schools, colleges, in our universities, in Asda, in Lidl, on the bus, on the commute, in the doctor's surgery, in the hospital waiting room, and so on and so on. And dare I say it, even in our valleys, in our low points, he can still use us and he wants to. Our God, who is uncontrollably in control. And this theme picture, really, I really like it because it highlights the theme so well. I don't know if anyone here has ever tried parachuting or skydiving. No, I can't say it's on the list of my experiences to try. But, you know, in this sort of experience, the participant has around 4 to 8 hours of training. And it's actually considered an extreme sport because of the height at which you have to descend. So I think it entails jumping out of an aircraft at 3,500 to 12,000 feet, depending on the type of experience you're going for. And once the person is out of the parachute, sorry, in the parachute descending, some parachutes allow them to steer their way to the ground, to a safe landing area. Just on this, isn't that what our faith walk is like? When we're baptized, we don't actually know where our walk will take us. We know that our life will change, but we can't predict or see how this will happen and when. No, instead, we trust. We trust God. And we hold on to that harness as we symbolically take that leap of faith, trusting that he will bring us to that place of safety, that place of joy, of rest. What is too difficult for God? So, on the subject of control, I'm going to be real for a minute because this was laid on my heart. I do feel like some of us are stuck. Some of us are seeking to control a situation in our own strength. Or we're being controlled by a situation or by our thoughts or by our habits or by a relationship or by our circumstances or by our status, even our social media status. Some of us are being controlled by the state of our finances or the opinions of others. For some of us, we're still being controlled by something that happened in our past. Some of us are asking God for that breakthrough. We're praying for God to move in our circumstances. And he's already given us the answer, but we're frozen on that aircraft floor, sorry. We're holding onto that harness, but we're refusing to lift our feet or choosing simply not to take that leap. Choosing not to answer that call, his call to, for us to serve or to walk in the purpose and the plan that he has set out for us. Some of us are simply getting in the way of receiving a blessing because we are not simply seeking him first and always in everything, the one who is uncontrollably in control. And family, let me be real, I can speak to this. You know, recently I had a really powerful revelation from God. Through a situation, God showed me that I didn't have my priorities in order, and I was being controlled by the opinion of another. He reminded me, I said, God first, then your husband and family, and then everything else. And when this situation happened, I went through a season where I really had to repent and be vulnerable before God. It's a good place to be, it's a hard place to be, but it's a good place to be because God rebukes in love. And he reminded me that I had let what he'd told me slip, and I needed to shift and pivot and change some things and say goodbye to some perspectives and habits that were controlling me in order to get back to that place where God was truly first in my life and get back to where the place that God wanted me to be because of his plans and purposes. Psalm 37 tells us, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Well, if we truly delight in the Lord, then we have to trust him, even when it feels uncomfortable to do so. Because if we fail to do this, how can we be witnesses for his kingdom? Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you until the end of the age. Earlier we read from Mark 4. But later on in the key verse for today, but later on in verses 35 to 40, we read that Jesus is in the boat with his disciples when a storm engulfs the boat. And as this happens, Jesus is sleeping until his disciples awake him because they're afraid. And when they wake him, Jesus calms the storm. 39 to 40 say, he got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Again, we see Jesus uncontrollably in control. What is too difficult for God? And like with the example of the parachuting, when we put our faith in Jesus, even when we have faith the size of a mustard seed, when we see him as the anchor and the center of our lives, when we pick up our cross and follow Jesus daily, he brings us back to that place of safety again and again and again. The place where our foundation is solid and we can rejoice. Whether that is an answered prayer or the grace and peace to go through a difficult situation, or the confidence to stand up for Christ and to serve him in the way he has called us to do so. All we have to do is take that leap into the life he has called us into. Truly following his word, his way through action, thought, and deed. Knowing that when we accept Christ, he lives in us. So we can have an everlasting peace and joy, seeing the seeds he has sown unto us come into fruition to his glory. So family, hold on. The power of his love is near. And draw close to him, always, in any and everything. To him who is able to do exceedingly above all we can ever ask or think. To him be the glory. Amen. Amen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.